Chapter 13. The Storm He Weathers. Okay, Sokka's got a confession. Something only Katara knows, and as a sister has full rights to make fun of. But only she and no one else does. The truth is, younger Sokka, for all his sharp wit, cynical worldview, and sarcasm, has a squishy and soft heart. The kind that saved otter cats from drowning and tried to sneak them into the igloo to keep as a pet. The kind that made friends with tiny, cuddly little saber-toothed moose lions and called them Fufu. But part of growing up means he's had to tamp that all the way down. Somewhere between watching his mother's still body being returned to the sea and being left the lone man at the pier with too much responsibility for his slight shoulders to bear, Sokka had to lose that part of himself. It's hard to remain soft in a harsh winter world that demands wariness and cynicism, when his village needs to eat. So cute, cuddly eyes become meat, just another source of survival. Survival. And that continued even after Aang dropped into his world and made it that much bigger. And their little family of three, between Aang's unrelenting desire to chase after all butterflies and anything and everything that shines even slightly, and Katara's whole, never turn my back on people who need me, agenda. Someone's got to be the rational one. Thinking about it, the boy petting foxes in the library with a gentle look in his golden eyes must have had to lose his softness too. It really is a pity how war changes them all. So Sokka's now a little rough around the edges, sure, but he's not heartless. And Sokka challenges anyone at all to hear the absolute miasma of self-loathing, loneliness, and despair Zuko had swirling in his head right before he'd gone to sleep and still been able to keep up a cold face. Sokka had wanted so badly to help, whether that meant only talking, to straight out hugging the firebender. But Zuko had been vibrating with tension that Sokka's sure he would have hyperventilated right out of his skin if Sokka had pushed ahead. He'd left Zuko alone, as he wished, to sleep, and slipped into a restless one of his own, and then been abruptly pulled into a fucking too-hot nightmare of agony and flame, a nightmare that Sokka's starting to discover is Zuko's actual world. Also, another new discovery. Apparently, the Prince of the Fire Nation can usually fucking breathe fire out of his throat, which is quite the discomforting revelation, both in the sense that it's kind of terrifying and kind of hot. Sokka's going to pretend he didn't just have that thought. Right now, attraction is second to the negative emotions churning through Sokka. The little jets of shame wildly bursting out of Zuko as he rages makes the dual forces of trauma-induced fear and protective anger rise in Sokka's throat. The defender instinct that's been conditioned to fear fire wants to run away, to take Katara and Aang and shield them from it. In direct contrast, his wolf fighter instinct wants to strike down in defiance of the source of the flames exploding like fireworks across him. Sokka 2 moons ago wouldn't have hesitated. Sokka 2 moons ago didn't see what current Sokka just saw. The screaming, burning, terrified child, this raging, flaming, terrifying enemy in front of him once was. Sokka 2 moons ago hadn't been saved by the angry prince jerkbender with a ponytail. So current Sokka clamps down on his instincts of flight or more likely fight, takes a deep breath, and decides to let go. Enough time in Prince Jerkbender's dumb head has given Sokka enough insight to understand that Zuko automatically falls back to lashing out with anger when he's scared or disoriented. And it's clear from the wildness in those golden eyes that he's still not entirely with them at that moment. Zuko's rage dissipates into a sob, and that miasma of self-loathing wells up again through the soul bond. All Sokka's own disorientation and rage from the dream dissipates. He lets out a sigh that manifests as mist into the cold night air. Look, Prince Jerkbend... Zuko, can we not do this? Sokka asks, holding one hand out in a half-hearted entreaty. He takes an experimental step forward. Far from relaxing, the Fire Prince's posture tenses even further, to the point that Sokka has the irrational worry that his spine is going to snap. Stay away, Zuko warns. Don't come any closer. His own hands rise in ready offense. Somehow, despite the display of power, it feels like Sokka's the threat. A memory drifts in, one that isn't his own. A shadowed figure with rising hands of fire, and Sokka's forcibly reminded that open palms aren't a sign of peace to a firebender. Stifling a shudder, Sokka lowers his head, trying to convey an open, loose posture instead. I'm not going to hurt you, he thinks forcefully at the other boy. Probably counterproductive. But hey, Sokka's trying at least. Look, I'm sorry, okay? He tries again. I really didn't mean to see your dream. I couldn't control it. Sokka's ego is screaming at him for apologizing to Zuko, for something that is not in Sokka's control, no less, and therefore not his fault. But he gives it a firm shove and tells it to get moving. He can totally be the mature one here. He's had lots of practice with Katara. Eclipsing his ego is the far stronger urge to comfort and protect his soul-bonded, after the nightmare. While Sokka feels icky at the sentiment, his inner Katara does feel that Zuko deserves a teensy bit of kindness. He's trying to channel inner Katara's empathy, which is hard, because this is the enemy who's chased them all halfway across the globe. But also, not as hard as he'd expected. In that dream, younger Zuko had screamed and cried for mercy, for kindness no one had given him until it was too late. Sokka's starting to think there's a lot more to this story than an angry, entitled ponytail freak shouting endlessly about finding honor. And together, with their whole Azula facing off, he's not sure he likes the picture it's painting. Zuko lets out a shuddering breath. Sokka notices how he's still breathing jaggedly, like his body is struggling to remember how. And he can't help it. His heart goes out to him. Zuko looks like one of the otter cats that had sometimes wound up tangled in his fishing net when he went out hunting, and needed to be set free. It hurts to watch, and something in him badly wants to wrap his arms around the firebender and just soothe him until he calms down. It's the bond. Just the bond, Sokka tells himself. Frankly, though, Sokka's sure any human with a heart that's even a quarter of the piece of shit Zuko's apparently has for a father would agree with his sentiments at this moment. Hey, Sokka keeps his voice light, remembering earlier. Can I touch you? Zuko blinks. Okay, that sounded weird. Sokka's face heats up. Now Zuko looks distressed and suspicious all at once, pressing his back against Appa's saddle as though he's quite ready and willing to jump over to 1,000 feet death at a moment's notice, and would in fact prefer to. No, sorry, that didn't come out right. Can I come closer? The soul bond, he says, hoping it's enough explanation. Sokka, I can. Katara starts, but Sokka shushes her with a look. Bad enough that they're trapped in this very small space for something so private. If Sokka's the one in Zuko's shoes right now, he doesn't think he'd be happy with an audience either. For all that he's embarrassed, he's sure Zuko feels 10 times worse. So Sokka steels himself and meets the golden gaze steadfastly, trying to convey the same comfort and trust they'd woke up to earlier. Come on, he coaxes. You can feel it too, right? The bond tugging? Think it helps, kinda. He can literally hear it, Zuko wanting to retort that he doesn't need or want help. Sees it in the way he braces on his feet against Appa's saddle. Come on, please, for once in your life, don't be so stubborn, jerkbender. Sokka pleads in his mind like the hypocrite he is, complete with the mental equivalent of puppy dog eyes. The bond pulses between them, tugging, coaxing, and strong, promising safety and comfort, and even a touch of endearment, which absolutely is for practical purposes from Sokka, and nothing else. Nope. You saved my life, Sokka tries, struck by sudden inspiration. Think of this as, me repaying back a debt of honor? Sokka sees the exact moment the firebender deflates and cheers inwardly. I've still got it! His best weapon will always be his words. I'm going to come closer, okay? He says, as clearly as he can. I'm going to touch your right shoulder. Zuko tenses when he steps closer, but otherwise does nothing. Please don't torch me, Sokka tries to joke. No Sokka flakes on the menu today. I come in peace. The firebender shoots him a glare, but it's a weak thing, and Sokka knows why. The bond is buzzing, becoming stronger with each step. When his fingers graze the white cloth of Zuko's shoulder, an immediate sense of relief follows. Both boys exhale as the ever-present undercurrent, itching, buzzing sensation fades to nothing. Instead, Sokka's increasingly aware of a comfortable, content glow trying to spread through his stomach, like slipping into a hot bath after a long hunt in the biting cold. Tense muscles relax, and his nerves, roiling close to the surface, only a minute ago, begin to settle with every breath he takes. This is a disaster, Zuko whispers. Yeah, Sokka agrees. His fingers curl into Zuko's frame anyway, moving slowly so as not to startle the tense, trigger-happy firebender. Sokka carefully wraps his other arm around Zuko's still-shaking frame, until in effect he has a lapful of royal firebender in a tight embrace. What is Sokka's life even, since the Avatar dropped into it and made it bigger? There's a moment of stillness, Zuko stubbornly holding back from what they both know the bond urges them to do. It lasts all of 2 seconds, until Zuko just... crumbles. Folds in on himself like parchment, like an igloo without enough bricks. The protecting and protective warmth expands around them like a little bubble, easing the tension in the shivering frame. Sokka tucks the phoenix tail back, feeling Zuko's temples press against his shoulder, and just marvels at the feeling of utter rightness swelling in his chest. It should be so wrong, but it feels so right. It really felt good to have Zuko this close. Behind them, there's a cough and some whispering, but Katara and Aang don't say anything further. Sokka finds himself grateful for their trust. There's a conversation he needs to have with Zuko, and whatever he feels towards his hitherto enemy now soul-bonded in other parts unknown. His nightmares were his own business, and Sokka would respect that. You've seen some serious shit, haven't you? He thinks at the firebender, trying to infuse as much understanding and openness as he can into his voice. Hey. Sokka clears his throat. The words are kind of dragging out, so he tries again. Look, I'm sorry, okay? I really didn't mean to see your dream. I couldn't control it. He swallows as he forces himself to look and meet the golden gaze head on, even as something decidedly pleasant and warm churns in his stomach. Zuko's voice is a rasp that makes Sokka wince, because he now understands that the prince had at one point in the past screamed his throat raw. I accept your apology. Sokka firmly stamps down on the voice that wants to snipe. It's not my fault. I couldn't control it anyway. Nope, bad ego. Shoo, go hunt somewhere else. Zuko's lips twitch despite his tension, and that's enough of a cue for Sokka to immediately steer his thoughts elsewhere. He's startled to realize that he's pleased, that he managed to amuse the firebender enough to crack a smile despite Zuko's current state of distress. Zuko's smile is a small thing, slightly self-deprecating and sad, and startlingly sweet. And okay, that's a dangerous line of thinking to ruminate on. So Sokka does the wise thing and just... doesn't. That seems to be Zuko's standard approach to horrifying truths anyway. Not that he's considered wise by any count. What? Zuko's eyebrow, singular, Sokka notes sadly, anger churning in his gut. How did he not question it before? Does something complicated, and settles on a scowl. Did you just... Apologies don't mean anything if you're going to insult the person right after, peasant. The insult is warm, almost fond even. Sokka lets it pass. It doesn't count if it's in my own head! Sokka protests. It does! Zuko scowls. Does not! Katara decides to step in before Sokka can continue to prove his superior prowess at high-quality bickering. Always a spoil sport, that one. Sorry to interrupt your... She eyes them for a moment, clearly wondering what to call it. Bonding, Aang supplies cheerful, his eyes genuinely fond. Bonding, Katara agrees, smirking at Sokka and Zuko both. Sokka feels like he's dying. But I think we kind of need to understand what happened. She's watching Zuko warily, still with that fierce edge in her eyes that reminds Sokka his little sister isn't to be messed with. But what used to be outright hostility is now wary concern. Zuko's tense again, and Sokka automatically gives him a gentle squeeze, hoping it'll comfort the other boy. He can feel the firebender relaxing just a smidgen, and marvels at the rush of power it brings. Of course, jerkbenders will be jerkbending, and soft, pliant, hurt Zuko is still capable of being an asshole. I don't have to tell you anything, Zuko snaps. Katara raises an unimpressed eyebrow. You don't, she agrees lovely. But listen, Prince Zuko. Katara's tone makes it clear that the term of honor isn't from respect. Zuko flinches and tries to pull away, but Sokka tightens his hold. It wasn't too long ago you were chasing us down like animals. I do have a right to know if I can trust you not to hurt us, given that you are quite literally cuddling my brother, she emphasizes, making both Sokka and Zuko flush. I don't want to do it. It's the bond, Katara. I don't care, Katara says to both of them. She turns a firm gaze on Zuko. Honestly, so far you've come across more decent than I thought you were, and you saved my brother's life back in the library, so I'm willing to hear you out. I don't owe you my life story, Zuko shouts. Or rather, he tries to. It just comes out weak, a patch of sun trying to be what isn't there, and something in Katara's hard eyes loses its tough edge. Why were you always so desperate to capture Aang? She asks instead. To be honest, Sokka wants to know this too. Wants to have his suspicions confirmed, and he watches in trepidation as Zuko struggles to decide. Almost subconsciously, he sweeps his hand down the firebender's shoulder blade. The bond sings in pleasure between them, a comforting warmth. Zuko sighs and closes his eyes. In a dead tone, Sokka wouldn't have believed the Fire Prince who had hurt all their ears for the last 6 months would have been capable of. He begins to tell them a story. Katara cries. Sokka doesn't, but maybe the wind was making his eyes tear up a little bit. Aang cries even more and becomes an extra not-soul-bonded limpet around Zuko's chest. Zuko's so very confused. We're enemies, he insists, trying to push the Avatar away. Aang is the most serious Zuko has seen him outside of conflict, which makes the next words even more nonsensical. No, we're not! I refuse your enemyship! Zuko stares, looks a little desperately at Sokka for help. He gets a shrug and a commiserating pat instead. The entire Team Avatar is in varying degrees of shock and or anger around him, which is nothing new. What's new is that it's not directed at Zuko, more on behalf of him. Zuko doesn't understand it. He's so confused. Thoughts swirl around his head, a million pieces that don't fit together. And Zuko has no idea what he's going to do next, or who he's going to turn to. Only that right now, his chest hurts both in the good and bad way, and the warm presence of the Water Tribe boy is giving him comfort he hasn't felt since he was 10 before Mother left. Zuko's tired of fighting it off. He doesn't have many nice, comforting feelings left in his life. Even Uncle, who had been absent earlier in Zuko's life, but had become Zuko's safe space in the last 3 years, is someone he can't come back to now. Is it so bad for him to enjoy any nice things he can, just for now? Please, Agni. Just please, let me have this.